If you need to contact Narcotics Anonymous or are interested in our sponsorship Behind the Walls program, please contact ARSC Regional H&I, P.O. Box 1351, Phoenix, Arizona 85001. NA literature can be found on the tablets in the Adovo app by searching for Narcotics Anonymous. Narcotics Anonymous does not endorse and is not affiliated with the tablet manufacturer, the software, or the institution.
Welcome to another episode of Recovery Discussions presented by the Arizona Region of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm an addict. My name's Matthew. And today we are joined by Jessica, who is going to be sharing her experience, strength, and hope. So with that, let's welcome Jessica.
My name is Jessica, and I am an addict. I'm an addict in recovery. I am grateful for the opportunity to come here today and share a message of hope and a message of freedom. I really appreciate those that are being of service in the prisons. It's so important. It just shows the gratitude. I feel like when addicts are of service to Narcotics Anonymous, it just shows the gratitude for the freedom that we have and for the lives that we've been given today, that we don't take for granted. And I know that I don't take my recovery, my freedom from active addiction, I don't take it for granted at all. And I think it shows in the way I live, because I feel like I'm one of the lucky ones that's been given a life where I now live without the use of drugs, which is something that I never thought that could happen. I thought I was an addict and I was just gonna be an addict and just the way it is, and recovery's not for me, and I am just gonna live and die as an addict. And I'm very grateful and happy to share that we do recover. And I love our readings here from the Narcotics Anonymous literature, who is an addict? So most of us do not have to think twice about this question. We know our whole life and thinking was centered in drugs in one form or another, the getting and using and finding ways and means to get more. We live to use and use to live. And that was my life for a very long time. And, you know, I am someone, I'm going to share a little bit about my past, because it's pretty important that I share about my past, because it has a lot to do with my life in recovery. Because my life has not been easy by all means. I have an amazing life. A lot of it I would never change. And I am, you know, I think with all the pain and the struggles that I've gone through, both before recovery and after recovery, has definitely made me the woman that I am, a woman of depth, a woman of empathy, care, compassion, and gratitude. And you know what? I might not have had those things if I didn't have the life that I had with all of the hardships. So, you know, we talk about in this reading about our whole life and thinking was centered in drugs in one form or another. And I was always a troubled kid, you know, like I was just born, you know. I remember being 3 years old and getting into trouble. I was wild. I was rambunctious. And I know for me, the disease of addiction can manifest itself in so many different ways. And I was a little addict at 3 years old. You know, I was always in trouble. Literally, like, I mean, in school, I was always in trouble. And I was that kid. And, so I feel like my first addiction was to rebellion. So I was a little rebel for years and years and years. And, you know, getting other kids to skip school with me in third grade and just, you know, never doing my homework. I am someone that never, before recovery, I never made good grades. And I say that because that has had an impact on me in my walk in recovery, with some struggles that I have now as a professional woman, because I do not come from an academic background at all. You know, in fact, I come from the opposite of that. So, but when I was in fifth grade, I used for the first time, and I used alcohol, which alcohol is a drug. And I remember it as clear as day. I went over to my friend's house, Jennifer Ferriello, and her mom had a bunch of beer. And I was just like, can I drink your mom's beer? You guys, I was 9 years old. Like, that's sad. I feel such compassion and care for that girl that was already seeking drugs to use. I was 9 years old. Like, I deserved a normal childhood, and I did not have a normal childhood or upbringing whatsoever. And so I remember drinking that night, and I think I drank five beers at 9 years old, and I loved it. I knew I had found my love. So, you know, I spent many years after that chasing drugs, but I wasn't a drug addict yet. I was a rebellion addict, just getting into trouble all the time addict. And so I basically, you know, went through middle school and high school just being crazy. And the type of home that I grew up in, my parents were, they loved us. They did the best that they knew how to do. But we basically didn't have parents. And I'll give you an example. Like, there were no boundaries in my household. There wasn't any guidance. I was never once, literally, told to do my homework. I had C's, D's, and F's for years upon years upon years. And I never had a parent that, like, took me aside and said, let's stay home tonight and do your homework. Let me help you with this. That just didn't exist in my household. So I was basically floundering for years. And so I found my comfort in drugs of all different kinds. And with that came me not being safe outside the home or in the home, actually. And that came with like a ton of promiscuity at way too young of an age. And I'll give you an example of like the kind of home that I grew up in is, and I don't share this that much, but I'm sharing it for everyone, but I am also sharing it for the ladies. You know, my virginity was taken from me when I was 12 years old by an 18-year-old. And you know, against my will. And my mom, I was 12 years old. I hadn't even had my period yet. And my mom found a note that I had written to my best friend, Jenny, and it detailed what had happened that night, because it happened at her house. My mom found that note. And we were always so concerned about my mom's mental health that it just became about comforting my mom's mental health, not about me being taken care of as a child. And so I just told my mom, I'm like, oh no, I made up some completely ridiculous lie that was so obvious it was a lie. Like, no 12-year-old writes a note like that. And my mom, you know, was in hysterics, and I just wanted to save her from feeling uncomfortable. So I told her it was, you know, it was just a joke, and it was never brought up again. Like, it was never brought up again. And I was allowed to go over to that friend's house, you know, constantly after that. So I didn't have safety growing up, and that's been a big part of my journey and recovery, is healing that. And it hasn't been easy, but it's been worth it. So I started finding safety at 15 years old through men, both grown men, or men. They were like the toughest, biggest, baddest motherfuckers, selling whatever on the corner, because that's how I found my safety. I didn't have safety anywhere else. And that's been a big theme of me healing that in recovery. And so I dated the guys where then nobody messed with me when I had this dude next to me. And the first guy, and it's kind of funny and it's kind of sad, but the first guy when I was 15, his name was Snake. Okay? That was his nickname, Snake. And I grew up in the DC area, born and raised. And that was the theme for decades. Because that's how I found comfort and safety, even though there really wasn't safety in that type of relationship. And then fast forward, by the time I was 19, I had minimal life skills by the time I became an adult, truly minimal life skills. And so what's the best thing for me to do is become a stripper at 19. And I spent the next 7 years of my life being a stripper. And by the time I was 21, that is when I had switched from being like a rebellious, wild party girl to an addict. I knew, and I remember it, I knew that I was using by myself, because this disease is progressive. And I was using by myself. I was drinking, a bunch of liquor before I'd go out with the friends. I was doing cocaine by myself the following morning. And I knew, I said, oh shit. I thought to myself, oh shit, I've crossed the line and I'm now an addict. But I cared. But I didn't care enough to do anything about it, because that's how powerful the disease of addiction is. And, I spent, the disease just continued to progress and progress and progress, till finally, by like 25, I ended up having my liver was failing, and I ended up having, from going through withdrawal from alcohol, I ended up having a really bad grand mal seizure on my bathroom floor in DC. And, if I didn't have someone in the other room, I would have died. So that was my first detox. And that's when I was shipped out to Arizona to be with my mom in Arizona. And that's when I went through my first rehab. So I was introduced to the fellowship in my mid-20s, and I tried to get clean, but I couldn't. I could not get clean, and I was in and out of rehab, in and out of rehab. By this point, I had already had multiple arrests, and my liver was in terrible condition. I was going in and out of the halfway houses, in and out, and I could not get more than 30 days. And 30 days was, I couldn't even, that was so hard for me to get. And I remember the people doing H&I, so being of service with hospitals and institutions, coming into the halfway houses and the rehabs and sharing with us. And I remember they would have 1 year and they would have 6 months. I remember sitting in my seat thinking, how does she have 6 months clean? Like, how is this even possible? Because the obsession and compulsion for me to use was, constant, 24 hours a day, except for when I was passed out. And it was unimaginable, like having that much clean time. So I tried for a year and a half, 2 years to in and out, in and out, in and out. I would go to like a rehab And then I would leave. I would literally like run away from the rehab after 5 days and go hitch a ride with someone to go score. And it was insanity. So I finally just gave up. I finally said, you know what? I can't get clean. I'm going to live and die as an addict. And there is nothing that anyone can do about it. And of course, like my childhood friends and my family, they were so worried about me because the progression had gotten so great. And I could no longer even like work in the strip clubs because I wasn't even like, my life was too insane for even that. And so by this point, I had surrendered to the disease of addiction that I was just going to die an addict. And I spent the next couple of years doing that. And the progression of the disease here in Phoenix, like I was doing things that I never could imagine that I would have done. You know, committing crimes that I had only heard about on TV. And I was thinking, you know, anything, like the ways and the means to get more. And I ended up, it was like a couple of years doing this, and it was just a living hell. And I ended up on July 19th of 2005, where my disease had taken me was to 15th Avenue in Buckeye. I was living there with a guy who was like 25 years older than me. We were living in a fifth wheel with no air conditioning in the middle of July. I had probation breathing down my neck. And, you know, I had already been to jail, I don't know, like 8 times, 9 times, and maybe more. And it was literally living hell. It was a junkyard, like living behind this tweaker family house. And I will always appreciate that tweaker family because they cared about me. And I remember they would bring me food. They would come out there to the yard and they would bring me food and they would, they showed up for me in court. And I have always appreciated them so much. They just suffered from the disease of addiction and they never got clean. But they were good to me. So that day, July 19th of 2005, I was going to cop. Someone had given me some money. And I was going to cop and I ended up getting arrested at a Walmart. And I remember because I stole a pair of pants and I stole a pair of I stole American cheese because I was hungry. And I ended up having a warrant out for my arrest that day. And the Walmart security, they're like, no, we need to retain you. And I thought my life was over. My life was done. My life was over. I was crying, freaking out. And I was just like, please let me go. Please let me go. No, my life is over. And I thought I was going to prison. And that was, again, it was July 19th of 2005. And my clean date is July 20th of 2005. And I have not had to use since that day, one day at a time. And this has been, you know, the most beautiful journey I could have ever imagined, you know, to be gifted with. And I'll tell you, the hardest thing I've ever done is getting clean. Like I have, you know, come on, I was a stripper for 7 years. Like that is a hustle and it's not a fun hustle. It is actually kind of a nightmare. And, you know, I've been in abusive relationships, sexual abuse, drug addiction, the whole nine yards. The hardest thing I have ever done is that transition from being a using addict to a clean addict. And you know what? I never want to go through that again. I did it multiple times before I finally got clean this last time. And I never want to go through that again. And July 20th of 2005 is my clean date. That is the day that my new life began. And I just want to tell you guys that I was not planning on staying clean. I was in terrible condition. I had no desire to stay clean. I was just going to do my little sentence and get out and use. I was just going to beat the system, quote unquote, and go right back out there and use. Because again, I didn't think recovery and healing and not using, I didn't think not using was possible for me. So it took me a couple of months. I was in Tent City back when they had Tent City in the middle of July and August and a little bit of September. And it was a nightmare, you guys. But it was just enough time for me to, you know, be away from the lifestyle. And I needed that. Like I could never have gotten clean. I don't think, because I tried. I don't think I could have ever gotten clean on the streets. I just don't think I'm an addict that functions that way. And I needed, like, thank God for jail. Thank God. Because that is where I developed the God of my understanding, touched me. Touched my spirit in a way that, you know, it's really hard to explain, but it was one day and it was really powerful. And I had a burning bush moment where something changed. And all I can do is credit it to God. And we are not a religious program. Thank God we're not a religious program, because all are welcome here. But I'm just, the God of my understanding changed my life that day, and it was intense and it was real, and something happened where I said, oh my God, like step three worked in my life that day. And I'm like, I have the willingness now. Suddenly I have the willingness, the open-mindedness and the honesty to just give this recovery thing a chance. And I just changed from that day on. And it's been a slow journey. And it's all been worth it, because even though life has its ups and downs, you know, my life is incredible. My life is fun and full and beautiful, and I have joy, and I am now a healthy woman. And I have amazing relationships inside Narcotics Anonymous and outside Narcotics Anonymous. And that is because I am committed to the program of Narcotics Anonymous and healing myself. I'm committed to healing that girl, that teenager that, you know, was in so much pain and had a really, really hard life. Like, I remember being 15 years old, and I was living with my mom at the time, and I was being 15 years old. And I was getting collect phone calls from my 20-year-old boyfriend who was in jail. And my mom would answer the phone and, you know, give me the phone to talk to the boyfriend in jail. And I would pay her back for the collect phone calls. And there was no conversation about self-esteem or boundaries or school. Or, wait a minute, something is wrong here. Like, you know, no, this shouldn't be happening. And so that's just one of so many examples of the childhood that I never had. And I get to heal that today. I get to give back to that teenager, Jessica, and that 9-year-old Jessica, and that 21-year-old Jessica, like, and on and on and on. Like, I get to give back to her and give her the life that she never had. And I would just encourage anyone who's listening to, you know, think about that child within you, that teenager within you that never had those chances, and the ability that we have. Because when I put down the drugs, the whole world opens up to me. Literally, the whole world opens up to me. And I then have the power, with the help of the steps, with the help of my family in Narcotics Anonymous, and I don't have to like everyone in Narcotics Anonymous, but I honor every addict that shows up to Narcotics Anonymous, that they have earned their right to be there. And so I have the ability, when I put the drugs down, to heal that. And so do you. We have that ability to heal all those years that were taken from us, and to change the trajectory of our life. So when I first got clean, it was super uncomfortable. I did, you know, a couple months in jail, and then I did 90 days in rehab, and all of that was so good for me. Okay, thanks, Matthew. All of that was so good for me. I needed that structure. I needed someone to tell me what to do. I needed to be drug tested. I needed to be accounted for with a, you know, signing my, getting my meeting card signed. I needed all of that. And that first year was really uncomfortable for me. Like, I was still crazy. I was still sneaking away after rehab. I went to a halfway house for a year. And I would still, like, you know, go and steal. I was addicted to stealing for my first couple years of recovery. So it's like, it takes us time to heal those things. But we do heal. So I, just the way I hustled after my disease for so many years, y'all, I'm still a hustler. Like, I'm always going to be a hustler. But now I am a hustler after my recovery, because I deserve that. And so does the still suffering addict. You know, they deserve that from me, to carry that message to them. So I started doing my steps right away. When I got out of rehab, I finished my all 12 steps within maybe a 13-month time span. I got an NA service commitment at about a year clean. My first NA service commitment was the NA phone lines. And I got an NA sponsor at 1 year clean. I was in another fellowship at first, and then I decided Narcotics Anonymous is what is right for me, because I have the disease of addiction. Like, I can be addicted to a lot of different things. So Narcotics Anonymous was the right place for me. And I was going to, like, at that time in my life, I was going to 1 to 2 meetings a day. So I was doing all the basics, even though I felt crazy. And even though I still had the obsession and compulsion to use. But we do have a promise in Narcotics Anonymous. And this promise is so beautiful. And this is true. Like, this is a promise of Narcotics Anonymous. Our message is hope, and the promise is freedom. An addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. That's incredible. This is available to any addict. And for it to work for an addict like me is a total miracle. And that is something for which I am eternally grateful for, which is, again, going to show in the way I live my life. But I remember, and I have to stop soon, and I wish I had a little more time, because there's so much more I want to share, but that's okay. You know, I slowly and surely started healing. The desire to use eventually got lifted from me. And that was at about 13 months clean. And for an addict like me, that is a fucking miracle. And I never want to go through that again. Like, I do not want to have the desire to use again. So I ended up at 5 years clean. I finally went back to school. And again, you all know, I come from a really poor academic background, and miracles do come true. Things that you could never imagine be possible. This is a chick 7 years of stripping, okay? You know, and then crimes. after that for 3 years before I got clean, and been to jail numerous times. I went back to school, and I spent 5 years of my recovery, from 5 to 10 years, becoming a nurse. And I got my bachelor's degree in nursing. It was so hard. It was so scary, but I hustled. It was that hustle to save my life and to change my life. It was so hard for me because of the academic background that I come from. And I relied heavily upon my friends in Narcotics Anonymous to lift me up while I was in nursing school, in which I still was fighting the courts to get my record to a place where I would be able to become a nurse. But I knew it was going to happen. And I didn't think I was going to make it in nursing school, but I did. I did make it, despite the fear, the tears, the embarrassment, because learning is not easy for me. But I hustled and I persevered. All these things that I learned in Narcotics Anonymous to fight for my life. And I became a registered nurse. The courts honored my requests. I have my stack of documents for whenever I apply for another job. And they're like, oh, we need to talk to you. I've got my stack of documents and there's never been any issue because I've done the work on myself. And they can see that. So I'm going to end with this because my time is up, but I now have 20 years clean, and I still do the same things that I did at the beginning. It doesn't look the same exactly, but I still go to meetings. I have a sponsor who has a sponsor. I just finished my step 10 yesterday. I'm working my steps for the fifth time. I sponsor women. I have a service commitment. I have a home group. These are all the things that I do as an addict in recovery to continue to grow and change my life and heal, because I didn't get clean to be miserable. I got clean to love and enjoy my life and fight for that girl who didn't have that life. So the journey continues. I hope you join us. We are here for you, and I will pass with that. Thank you.
Jessica, thank you so much. That was such an amazing share of your experience, strength, and hope, and an absolutely beautiful message of Narcotics Anonymous. So thank you so much for taking the time and sharing that with us. And thanks. I also want to say thank you to anybody who's listening to this episode. And we hope to see you on a future episode of Arizona Recovery Discussions, presented by the Arizona region of Narcotics Anonymous. And with that, we will pass.
If you would like to speak directly with a member of Narcotics Anonymous, please contact our phone line at 844-991-AZNA. Again, that's 844-991-2962.